Thank you, choir. That's a tough act to follow. Well, we are still in our series looking at the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. Last week, we talked about being the good news of Jesus to someone else, and we heard some stories of how that is happening through our community dinner. This week, we are listening. So no falling asleep in the sermon. You have to listen. It's there in the title. Now, there's a joke in many industries that asks, how do you define an expert? How do you know that someone is an expert? And the answer is straightforward. An expert is anyone who's traveled more than an hour to be talking to you. That makes them an expert. And really, by that definition, I mean, Jesus is like the greatest expert of all time, right? Because he didn't just travel an hour to get here. He crossed over from heaven to earth. That takes almost as long as it takes to drive across Texas. And Jesus wasn't just someone, though, who traveled a great distance to get here. You know, he's the Son of God. He didn't just pretend to know everything like some experts. He actually did know everything. And so it is absolutely fascinating to me to see how Jesus starts the two encounters that we have in our text today. Given that Jesus knows everything, given that Jesus is the Son of God, listen to how Jesus starts these encounters. See if you are as surprised as I am. If you are able, please stand for another reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him a favor. And he said to her, "What do you want?" She said to him, "Declare that these two sons of mine will sit, one at your right hand, one at your left, in your kingdom." But Jesus answered, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to him, "We are able." He said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup, but to sit at my right hand and at my left, this is not mine to grant. It is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard it, they were angry with the two brothers, but Jesus called them to him and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. It will not be so among you, but whoever wishes to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be your slave, just as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, and there were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David." Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord, so thanks be to God. You may be seated. Well, did you catch how Jesus started those two encounters? He asked, "What do you want?" Jesus knows everything. Jesus is the Son of God. We have all these stories in the Bible where Jesus reveals some like hidden dark secret about people, and yet he asks, "What do you want?" Now, to be fair, with the mother of James and John, her name was Salome, by the way, when Salome comes to Jesus to ask a favor, most of us would have asked, "What do you want?" But, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. He probably already knew. But how about some blind men screaming, "Have mercy on us, have mercy on us"? It doesn't take a genius, let alone the Son of God, to figure out that they want their eyes to be opened. And yet, Jesus says, "What do you want?" Fascinating to me. Now, we have a rule in our house. It's a simple rule. It's you don't get anything with "eh." And so if Charlie hands us a plate and says, "Eh," he doesn't get more food. He has to say, "More, please," or "chicken," or "just give me something more than eh." Or when Caleb comes up to us, you know, and he's got that lower lip sticking out long enough to hang laundry from, and he's pointing at the fridge and says, "Eh," you know, that doesn't work. He has to ask for the food he wants. And for him, he has to do it politely as well. You don't get anything with "eh." We want them to learn to ask for what they want politely instead of relying on other people to be able to guess. And sometimes we actually are surprised by what they want. We didn't know what "eh" meant. And so it's good to be able to articulate what you want. I was chatting a couple weeks ago with one of our homeless neighbors, and he told me about a recent encounter in the King Soopers parking lot. A woman was hurrying to her car, and one of her grocery items had fallen out of her bag, and she didn't realize it. And so he says that he went over and grabbed the grocery item and was trying to catch up to her to give it back to her, and saying, "Ma'am, ma'am, ma'am," and she just kept walking faster and faster and faster until finally she turned around and said, "I don't have anything for you." And he said, "Well, that's good, because I don't want anything from you. Here's your groceries back." When we assume that we know what someone else wants or needs, we are many times wrong. And we might even make a fool of ourselves in the process. If Jesus, the all-knowing Son of God, started off by saying, "What do you want?" maybe we could take our cue from him. All last week, I was at a conference, and one of the presenters encouraged us to have this kind of listening posture, and he says that he wants people to know, I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. Now, sometimes listening to people helps us understand them better, but also sometimes listening to people is an act of service in and of itself. Back in 1964, a professor at MIT created a very simple, just text-based conversational computer program called ELIZA. And this is 1964, right? So not quite as advanced technology as we have today. This is more than 50 years before Siri and Google Assistant. And he wrote this program. The goal was to show how far we were from having computer programs that understood and converse. And so it wasn't fancy. It just basically took what the human had written and repackaged it back to them while asking some standard therapy questions. That's all it did. But the professor was shocked, alarmed even, when his secretary used this program and started saying how ELIZA understood her, and ELIZA was compassionate, and ELIZA helped her process some things in her life, and other people used the program and reported the same thing. This computer program was just using simple rules to let people tell their own story. It had zero understanding of what they were talking about. It was written, in fact, to show that computers could not converse meaningfully with people, and yet it helped people feel better because it helped them say what they were feeling or tell what they had experienced without judgment. It didn't want anything from them. It only existed to help them talk. It only listened and then asked if it could listen more. Sometimes that's all it takes. There is great power in listening. There is great power in speaking without being judged and without worrying about the other person's agenda. My best friend from seminary, his name is Patrick. He was at this conference that I was at last week as well. He's the one we've done sermon series together. He did the graphics for us for a couple years. Patrick and I have known each other for a long time now, and when we talk, we know that we can share what we're actually thinking or feeling or experiencing, and we don't have to worry about the other person judging us. Even if we have to say, "I know this is going to sound bad," but with Patrick, I can say that. Having that non-judgmental, no-agenda listening partner is very freeing. The things that we keep bottled up inside need to be released. Listening is powerful. And so when we really listen to people without judging them, when we really listen to people without waiting to jump in with what we have to say, when we really listen to people because we care, we are bringing good news into their life. That is gospel listening. Just the act of listening like that, that gospel listening, that kind of listening is a form of service. It is a blessing. It is good news. It is an act of love, and it can make a powerful difference. But let's circle back to that phrase I shared with earlier. I don't want something from you. I want something for you. That's what Jesus showed in our text today. I find it really interesting that Jesus gets this request from Siloam, the mother of James and John, but he doesn't grant it. Jesus asks what she wants. He listens, but he doesn't give her exactly what she asks for. That is interesting to me. I find inspiration from this. Whenever someone asks of something that I don't have, maybe it's like bus tickets or train tickets, or we got baby wipes, a recent one that we didn't have here at the church, a place to stay. Sometimes I don't have what people want or need. But that's when I find inspiration from how Jesus responds to Siloam. The other disciples get mad, but Jesus does not. Jesus talks with her and then says, well, this is what I can offer. That's the pattern I try to follow when someone asks something that I don't have to offer. I listen, have a conversation, and say, well, this is what I have to offer. Sometimes they'll take it, sometimes not. But notice, Jesus doesn't say, now, Siloam, you better be grateful for this answer. That was not a requirement. Gratefulness was not a requirement for what Jesus had to offer, and so I don't make that demand either. But notice that the text doesn't end there. That's just the initial request. What Jesus really has to offer is transformation. At the end of Siloam's request, Jesus offers to transform the hearts of all of the disciples and give them servant hearts. That changes your life. Or at the end of the encounter with the blind men, did you catch what happened? Immediately, they regained their sight and followed him. What did they do after regaining their sight? They followed him. One more time, say it with me. They followed him. Gospel listening leads to gospel transformation. There was an Iranian Muslim doctor who trained in the West, and one day he heard about a Bible study on campus, and the curiosity got the best of him, so he went a few times and absolutely hated it. But he remembered one lesson, one bold claim that was made by the Bible study leaders. They said, Jesus can change your life. That's what he remembered. Fast forward a few years into the future, and things aren't going well. The doctor's life had fallen apart. He was in poor health. His poor health meant he could not practice medicine. It meant he was in debt. Out of his stress, he was being a bad father to his son, and he hated it. But for some reason, that one lesson from the Bible study jumped back into his head that Jesus can change your life. And so out of sheer desperation, he prayed, Dear Jesus, I don't believe you can actually hear me. But if somehow you can, change my life. I hate myself. The next day, a traveling book salesman stopped by randomly and had this new book that somehow, he decided, this is the book I'm going to offer to this man today. It was a New Testament, the story of Jesus. And so with wide eyes and a palpitating heart, this doctor purchased the New Testament, read it cover to cover, and gave his life to Jesus. Jesus answered his prayer. Jesus changed his life. The doctor shared his new faith in Jesus with his family, and now his son leads an organization that trains Iranian house church pastors. And despite extreme persecution, the underground church in Iran is one of the fastest growing in the entire world. I mean, that whole story is a miracle, right? I mean, the timing is too perfect to be chance. The life change is too radical to be an accident. The impact for God's kingdom is too powerful to be a coincidence. But that's exactly how the Holy Spirit works miracles. The Holy Spirit works miracles by healing the hurt and then calling them to follow Jesus. The Holy Spirit works miracles by healing the broken and then transforming them from the objects of ministry to the doers of ministry. That's when miracles happen. As we've been talking about kind of orienting ourselves more toward our neighborhoods, I've started using this phrase, heaven on earth. What would it look like if our neighborhoods were a little taste of heaven? One little taste of heaven on earth might be us helping the people who hate their lives or hate themselves to experience the transformational love of Jesus. And once that love has taken root, helping them to show the love of Jesus to someone else who hates their life or hates themselves, that would be a little taste of heaven on earth. And so if you can identify with that Iranian doctor, if you hate your life or hate yourself, Jesus can change your life. with a transformational love like you have never experienced. Or if you know someone like that Iranian doctor who hates their life or hates themselves, Jesus wants to change their life by loving them like they've never experienced, and he probably wants to do it through you. And that's when miracles happen. Sometimes all it takes is that first step of gospel listening, listening without an agenda, listening without judgment, listening with love. Gospel listening can lead to gospel transformation. And gospel listening does not require any specialized skills. All of you are better conversational artists than the computer program from 1964, and it was able to do it. You can too. But gospel listening requires proximity. It requires conversation. It requires love. But that gospel listening, as simple as it sounds, can lead to gospel transformation. Do you want to be part of a miracle? Show someone the transformational love of Jesus. Or if you are the one who needs the miracle, ask Jesus to change your life. See what the Holy Spirit does next. Amen.